Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in, time for daily editorial. As promised, since I will be unable to record tomorrow, as I will be taking care of some business in Seattle, Washington, which is about 2 hours away, Jimmy and I are going to record a second one, and we have a perfect opportunity to do it. Biden recorded a speech today that I normally don't watch Biden's speeches, but I happened to find this one just at the perfect moment in time. And interestingly enough, I think we're going to go ahead and do a daily editorial on this because it really stupid, in my opinion. The speech was made at the IBEW hall. And it reminded me of when I worked at the Boeing Airplane Company, and I participated unwillingly in a strike meeting, which I thought was pretty stupid, but it was really amazing how Biden really worked up the crowd. It was theatrics. It was exactly unbelievable, taking credit for things that he didn't even do, and absolutely shellacking the Republicans for the things that they are doing. I was very, very disappointed in the President of the United States actually making a speech like that. Jimmy, you went over it too. What do you think, bud?
So I did a quick review of it, and yeah. It was interesting. It was basically his State of the Union speech for the first 15 or 20 minutes, talking about the issues that he talked about during the State of the Union. And of course, some of them that he was heckled for in the State of the Union address. And then he rolled into things like, the tax cuts and trying to, for the rich that the Republicans passed. And what he fails to understand is that's what brought manufacturing back to the United States by these corporate tax cuts.
Exactly.
He failed to mention these tax cuts actually went to middle class and basically lower income families.
Right.
And they were a huge impact. And he said that it increased the debt by $2 trillion when in fact his policies and the Democratic Party have passed the most massive debt increases that we've seen. And now the CBO is saying that, hey, we're going to reach $50 trillion in debt in the next decade.
Well, as I recall, the headline for his speech was, here's my plan to take $2 trillion off of the deficit. Sounds kind of impossible to me, Jimmy.
Well, not when you're spending more money. You know, it's pretty hard to do that when you're putting all these programs that he's talking about by spending more money. You're not taking money out of the deficit that way. He thinks that somehow raising taxes is going to benefit the economy when in fact it'll force what we see is an increase in manufacturing going outside of the U.S.
He was talking about bringing it back to the U.S.
Well, he says that, but the only reason why you can't just say it, you have to give incentives for people to do it. And the reason why we had companies coming back to the U.S. is because of the cut in the corporate tax rates.
Right.
Look, and this is the reality. Corporations don't pay taxes. People pay taxes when they buy things from the corporation. The corporation includes those that cost, that tax benefit, into the cost of the product.
Right.
So everybody buying the product ends up paying the taxes. The corporation doesn't pay taxes. Individuals that have investments in that, they pay capital gains on the investments. Not understanding the economy, but more importantly, catering to people that are ignorant of how these things work is exactly the Democratic Party's policy.
Right. Okay. Now, having said that, I agree 1,000%. I know it reminded me of a very typical stump speech, selling a union, which is something I don't happen to believe in particularly, but that's neither here nor there, and that's really not the subject of this particular editorial. It's showing this speech showed me that Biden and his team are really on the defensive here, Jim. Really on the defensive.
And well, the- they've made so many mistakes recently, and it's just an embarrassing public communications efforts by the Biden.
I agree. I would agree with that. Yeah, for sure. I don't know. It's the only speech that he has given, you know, in a while. And that's kind of a ridiculous thing, I guess, for me to say, because the State of the Union speech, which was very poor, was just given a couple of days ago. So, I mean, I don't know what to say. Why did they take this thing and go one day after another and 2 days after a very important State of the Union speech? I don't understand that, Jimmy.
Well, I mean, he's actually out campaigning right now and trying to gain funds and put himself in a position.
Yeah.
He's appealing to the same kind of ignorant union leaders that are undermining their own members by continuing to fund and support this administration that allows illegal immigrants in to take away jobs from union labor people.
Right.
But the leadership is so corrupt.
Yeah, he didn't mention that.
Pardon me?
He did not mention that.
No, because he's appealing to these leaders because that's where the funding comes from.
Right.
And he's actually, you know, and it's union leadership, which are not union workers much anymore. Most of them actually are now, you know, they're paid consultants, and, you know, there are members that have long-term life, you know, been working and they believe in the union policies.
Yeah.
And there are benefits to that. Of course,
sure.
You know, many people don't realize that there are the Republican Party platform actually supports union membership and unionization, but they don't support undermining our country. And
no, I agree.
The Democrats, what they're doing is they're funding and supporting policies that are actually undermining American workers and American workforces. Look, we've got this huge trade deficit that came in, and the numbers just came in, and who is the biggest recipient of that? China.
Yeah.
You know? That they're making money off of us continually.
Yeah,
and if he continues down this road, we're just going to be, I mean, these guys are so incompetent and so incapable of managing what's happening. But the one thing they are doing is they're gaslighting everybody in this country to make them believe that somehow these policies are going to benefit the workers, and they're not.
No, I know. I don't get that at all personally. You know, it seems pretty silly to me. I want to flip over to a different subject because, I mean, I think every one of our listeners is pretty aware of the weakness in this particular speech. I mean, our folks are pretty politically savvy, as you and I are. I have a question I wanted to ask you about the coming from one of the comments that came today from our bloggers that I simply don't understand. It has to do with the Nazification of Ukraine.
Funny, I was just reading the comment from one of our regular bloggers.
Yeah, any comments on that?
Yeah, sure. So he highlights, you know, videos of Ukrainians in the western portion of Ukraine supporting the Nazis when they moved into the area.
Yeah.
That was not unique to many, many nations.
Yeah.
Austrians welcomed the Nazi Party in very clearly. The Sudetenland, Czech Republic, you know, eastern part of Germany extended well into Poland.
Yeah.
The borders were different today. Countries like Slovenia, on the border of Austria, Hungary, many, many nations not only fought with the Nazis, but supported them because they were fighting against communist partisan members in the former Yugoslavia, because they were, in Ukraine's case, they were absolutely furious. Ukrainians hated Moscow and the Russian-dominated Soviet Union because of what Stalin had done to the millions of Ukrainians through the Holodomor. So they were looking for any support, and of course they did volunteer. Many of them volunteered and fought with the Nazis.
Yeah.
That happened all over Europe. French leadership sided with Nazis after the invasion.
Sure.
You know, there was, they occupied almost all of Europe. So to pull that out is some sort of an example that today the Ukrainians are Nazis is somewhat, in my view, somewhat ignorant.
I agree.
What's happened is there are members, and what happened throughout all of Europe during World War II, where there were countries that were nationalistic.
Yeah.
Those nationalistic identities were being crushed between two big powers. One of them was communist powers through the former Soviet Union,
right.
And the other one was through this whole idea of fascism with Italian Axis powers with the Nazis.
Yeah.
It was a choice. The two big dogs on the fight, which one you're going to go with, and it appeared in many people, now I'm not justifying this, but many people's eyes, they were more favorably in tune to what the Germans were doing, what the National Socialists were doing in order to bring identity up as a nationalist nation, as opposed to the communists, because there was so much damage and destruction done through the purges and, of course, the collectivization through socialism.
Right.
That was a huge fight at that time. Now, that's we're going 70 years back now, 70 years.
About as old as I am, Jimmy.
Well, and again, we're, you know, how many people? There are large members, big segments of America that actually supported the Germans and the Nazis, the Nazi Party. I'll just remind everybody that Charles Lindbergh was a strong America First back then in 1940, very much a strong America First ideologue, which was at that time supported nationalism and supported the Nazi Party. Charles Lindbergh went there. There was a tremendous movement that way. It turns out, historically, looking back, that was a massive mistake, right, to understand that. But the reason why is because it was tyranny crushing people's spirit by controlling and attempting to use influence and manipulation and propaganda.
Yeah.
And that's what you're seeing today in Russia. You're seeing that today with the justification that somehow they're going to clean Nazis out of Ukraine. Most people in Ukraine want to live their lives. They're not associated with the Nazi Party. And the ones that voted in a very large majority to support EU integration certainly were not looking at the Nazis. They were looking at globalization. They were looking at the potential opportunity of being an EU member and then potentially a NATO member, which from their idea was in order to protect them from exactly what happened, invasion by Russia. So, you know, these authoritarian powers that have been vying back and forth for many, many generations now, all through Europe, it's just coming to a head right now. But to somehow say that the that we, you know, the neo-Nazi Ukrainian regiments, you know, it's just that we're talking about a handful of very powerful nationalistic people, just like you've got, you know, a handful of white supremacists in the United States.
I agree. No, I agree, Jimmy. You know, I would also remind people about Joseph Kennedy, for lack of better. I mean, a lot of Americans, you know, supported the Nazi Party before they really found out what it was all about, for lack of better term.
I
happen to agree with you that to talk about Nazis in the Ukraine is kind of a futile conversation.
It's pointless, and it's using a propaganda tool to inflame people's ideas. And to think that somehow this is what the fight is about, I think is really, really kind of ignorant.
I agree.
And then when you see some of this, I'm going to comment a little bit more on some of the relationships. You can pull little pieces of information and connections to anybody, anytime. Someone can take a segment of what I just said and say, oh, I'm a Nazi supporter,
right?
That's BS. I'm not. And, of course, never have been.
Right.
But someone can pull that out. And taking little pieces of knowledge and using that to justify an entire theory is somewhat, in my view, it's very ignorant.
I agree, Jimmy. I agree 100%. Anyway, there you have it. This is going to air tomorrow, Thursday, as a daily editorial. I'm really glad that we made the comments that we did about the president's speech. It was a little bit silly, in my opinion. And I'm glad that we have the opinion out, how you and I feel really about the Nazi situation, Ukraine. So there we go.
Nazis have been gone for a long time.
A long time. Jimmy, I'm looking forward to recording the show, by the way, the weekend show on Friday. Thanks, bud. Thanks for being a little bit loose on this. Thank you.
You bet, Al.
Okay,
take care.
See you later. Thanks, Jim.
find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.